If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've been going through, and I've been reading through, the Supreme Court decision that was handed down, just a couple of hours ago, and no doubt about it, this is a pretty significant blow to President Trump, the Supreme Court blocking the president's tariffs, not all of them, but some of them. And it's going to be a difficult situation for the president. Now, first of all, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us on this Friday edition of the program. The Supreme Court making this decision 6-3. And you had Justices Clarence Thomas, Sam Alito, and Brett Kavanaugh dissenting. And you've got Gorsuch, Amy Coney Barrett, and the Chief Justice, John Roberts, siding with the libs. Not all that surprising. I've been telling you for quite some time that the Supreme Court is conservative, in not even in name only. It's really unfortunate here. But this is going to be big. President Trump had previously said that this is life or death for the U.S. economy here. So we're going to break this down as best we can. Again, there's a lot of reading to do over this. But Justice Roberts siding against the president. And now the question becomes, because of the ruling, will the United States have to refund billions of dollars in these tariffs that have been collected, which have been incredibly, incredibly successful and have been such a great thing to the American economy. So just, again, a very unfortunate decision, but the justices, again, saying the president overstepped. Kavanaugh, by the way, said that, and I want to read this to you from the dissent, he said that it would be serious. There are serious practical consequences of the court's decision in terms of the refunds, right? How do you refund all of this money? We're talking about billions of dollars. Kavanaugh writing, and I want to read to you directly what Kavanaugh wrote here in the ruling, or in his dissent, rather. The United States may be required to refund billions of dollars to importers who paid the tariffs, even though some importers may have already passed on costs to consumers. As was acknowledged at oral argument, the refund process is likely to be a mess. Now, the lawyers for the president said in lower court arguments that the tariffs allow a president to act in response to unusual and extraordinary threats, and in cases where a national emergency has been declared. And the president said that these deep and sustained trade deficits amounted to a national emergency. And that's, in his mind, and according to his lawyers, that was enough to trigger his executive powers under the emergency law. So here's the problem. Nobody knows what happens next. We are, as a nation, we are in completely uncharted waters now as a result of this decision from the Supreme Court. Now, the plaintiffs in the case countered that in the 50 years since this law had been passed, it had never been used by a president to impose tariffs. And that seemed to be the sticking point for Kavanaugh and, Justice Roberts and the libs. So we'll keep you updated as reaction is pouring in here. And, of course, the most important reaction on this program is from you, the great listeners of the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That is our number, 901-260-5926. By the way, just a word of advice here. And I hesitate to bring this up, but I always want you guys to be prepared. And it's always best to be ready to go just in the event that that something happens. So let me just say this. You might want to go ahead and just fill your car up with gas. If you've got multiple cars, go fill them up with gas. Because if war breaks out tomorrow between the United States and Iran, you're going to see gas prices skyrocket. So you might want to do that. Again, the question now is, what exactly is going to happen, and why did President Trump send most of the U.S. Navy to the Middle East? We're going to keep you updated on that. But there is a lot of scuttlebutt that the president may, in fact, launch strikes. It may either be full-blown or limited in nature, but this could all happen beginning Saturday. And, of course, you've got a lot of the war hawks that are encouraging the president to do this, and then you've got neocons who are saying, no, we should not be intervening in any affairs outside of the United States borders. So we'll keep you updated on that as well. By the way, I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling in today. It is Open Line Friday, and that means that whatever you want to talk about, we're going to talk about today. Even if it hasn't been something we've covered earlier in the week, happy to take your calls on it today. Our number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We've got a jam-packed show for you today. Joe Messina is going to be here, his Friday visit. Also, crazy controversy at Iowa State University. The student body president was impeached by the Student Government Association because he supports Turning Point USA. Jeff Stein from radio station KXEL will join us a little bit later to talk about that. Also, big news in the world of politics. Jason Rapert, who is president of the National Association of Christian Lawmakers, is here. And from the Pentagon, This story, and it is just so obscene. We're going to talk about it in the next hour. Ready for this one, folks? There is an elementary school, right? And there is a kindergarten teacher at this elementary school at Fort Bragg. And the teacher has been dressing provocatively. It's a male teacher at Fort Bragg's Mildred Poole Elementary School. Teaches kindergarten and pre-K. And this guy dresses in female attire, wears a dog collar with fetish tags and an animal tail in the classroom. This is at Fort Bragg, ladies and gentlemen. Matt Staver, who is the founder and chairman of Liberty Council, is going to join us in the next hour to tell us the entire disgusting, gross story. And you're going to want to stick around for that. All right. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going right to your calls. By the way, don't forget the Todd Stearns Show on Newsmax, 5 o'clock, every day, Monday through Friday. President Trump is right, folks. Millions of people are now turning to Newsmax because you folks understand what's really going on here in cable television. That's right. More conservatives watching Newsmax on cable, going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, and downloading our free Newsmax app on smartphones and TVs. Reuters, by the way, says we're now one of the top news brands in the nation. You can watch great shows every night. Rob Schmidt, Carl Higbee, Rob Finnerty. Find out why Newsmax is the fastest growing news channel in America. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. Get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. Take seconds to start. And let President Trump know that you stand with Newsmax. Real news for real people. Candles were lit on Bondi Beach by families, children, people of faith to celebrate a festival of light, a festival from Bible times, ones that Jesus himself celebrated. But instead of light, there was darkness, violence, fear, hatred showing itself at a time meant for prayer and rejoicing. Times like this remind us, even with the ceasefire in Israel, Jewish people are being targeted simply because of their faith. And times like this remind us why the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews exists, to stand in the gap, providing safety and security to God's people. The fellowship brings together Christians and Jews to be a light to suffering Jews in Israel, the former Soviet Union, or wherever the needs are greatest. And your gift today will help provide that security that God's people so desperately need. Visit urgentifcj.org. That's one word, urgentifcj.org, or call now 866-338-IFCJ. That's 866-338-4325. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. It is Open Line Friday, and we're going to be getting to your calls in just a quick second. I want to play some audio from you, and this is Congressman Tim Burchett. The congressman pretty riled up. Mitch McConnell still standing in the way of the Save America Act from becoming law. Take a listen.
Hey, everybody. Tim Burchett. I saw where Mitch McConnell was blocking the SAVE Act this morning. I think it's partially just out of meanness. He doesn't like Trump, and Trump got him in office. Sadly enough, he helped him in that last race extensively. And that's one thing I value in this game is loyalty, and apparently he doesn't. But he's blocking the SAVE Act. And, or is he? Is it him or a staff member? Because, as you know, he's a lot like Joe Biden was in his last few days in office, last 4 years, really. His cognizant level is diminishing daily. You know, I've always remembered we had a chairman of a committee, and I asked in committee, in our conference meeting, I asked if, how much money was in this bill? And she responded, "I don't know. Next question." And I said, no, how much money is in this dadgum bill? And immediately staffers were like, you can't be asking that. Well, dadgummit, you know, this thing ain't supposed to be some retirement village. It's supposed to be the United States Congress and the Senate. But here's what it's turned into. And it is wrong. You've got staffers that are running this thing. The lady that I asked those questions of, it turns out for over 6 weeks, she never showed up and nobody knew where she was. But her staff kept running the office. And she was in a retirement village for people that were in cognizant decline, to put it lightly. And that's what's going on in Washington. You've got these staffers, again, that are too close to the lobbyists, too close to whatever, and they're running the show. And it needs to stop. I've called it out. I've called it out to our leadership, and they do nothing about it. But this is where we're at. The SAVE Act is stopped because Mitch McConnell. And he's got a staffer that's running his show, not him. So, anyway, it's a pitiful state. You need to get a hold of our leadership and let them know this cannot continue. Cannot continue. Thank you all for sending me here.
Yeah, all right. Well, thank you, Congressman Burchett. And he does these train of thought kind of videos that are going viral. And I love Burchett because he's just the real deal. He tells it like it is, and he's pretty disgusted by what he's seeing up there. Look, here's the deal, folks. President Trump, out of everybody in Washington, and hear me on this, out of everybody in Washington, D.C., President Trump has been the only person who has done every single thing he said he would do. Every single thing he said he would do. The House, they finally got their act in order. They finally got it together. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. The only people now in Washington that are not doing what they promised the American people to do are the ones in the U.S. Senate. And I'm almost to the point, and hear me on this, because this is a radical thought. I'm almost to the point where we ought to blow out the entire U.S. Senate. Just vote them all out And here's the reason why. I'm not seeing anybody other than maybe Mike Lee. I don't see anybody else out there condemning John Thune or Mitch McConnell or any of the other radical Republicans that are stopping the SAVE Act from happening. The Senate Republicans do not want you to have a secure election. They do not want integrity at the ballot box. And folks, if you're not going to stand up and condemn that, and I'm talking about everybody. I'm talking about Marsha Blackburn, Katie Britt, Tommy Tuberville, Bill Hagerty, Josh Hawley, the whole lot of them. They ought to be screaming this from the mountaintops, but they're not going to do it. They're going to hide behind John Thune, and they're going to say, well, we really can't do anything. Our hands are tied. Leadership, you know, they make the decisions. What are we going to do? Well, you know what? There is something we could do, and that is to nuke the filibuster. And even if you don't want to nuke the filibuster, let's re-implement the standing talking filibuster, where you actually have to get up there and you got to stand on your own 2 feet and you've got a filibuster. So I am on the verge of saying every single Republican needs to be replaced in the U.S. Senate. Because nobody really wants voter integrity. Otherwise, they would be shouting it from the mountaintops. But they don't want to do it because they don't want to lose their place in power. They don't want to lose their access. They don't want to lose what they would consider to be prestige in the U.S. Senate. That's what this is all about. All right, 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phone lines. We're going to start our open line Friday in Ocala, Florida. Sonny, listening to us on WOCA. Hi, Sonny. What's on your mind today?
What's on my mind, Todd, is the fact that these Supreme Court justices made a ruling that is interfering with the standing and the international trade agreements that have taken place under the auspices of President Trump. To me, this is totally wrong what they have done, and it should be appealed immediately. I don't know how you can appeal it, but
you can't appeal it. Sonny, you can't appeal it. The Supreme Court made the ruling.
Yeah, but they're interfering with our economy. That's beyond their purview.
Well, it is. And Sonny, look, Senator Bernie Moreno, I think, is one of the most vocal critics so far, speaking out saying this is outrageous. And the Supreme Court is basically handcuffing our country's ability to fight these unfair trade practices. And keep in mind, that's what this was all about. We were getting hosed in these trade deals. And Trump steps in and says, all right, that's not going to happen anymore. So the question now is, will the president find other ways? Are there loopholes? Are there workarounds? And we're hearing from the White House there may be some workarounds. And by the way, not all of the tariff rulings apply here, right? Only there were two sets of tariffs imposed by the administration. This only impacts one, but it's unfortunately the big one that involves China, Sonny.
What one point? Who was the person or group that brought this to the Supreme Court to be heard? I didn't hear about who was involved or what organization was involved in bringing this to the Supreme Court.
Sonny, we're going to look into it. We'll get back to you on that. How's that?
Sounds good to me.
All right.
I mean, we're talking America here.
No, we are.
And you have a bunch of pinheads that can destroy America in a whim.
Well, and that's what they're doing. And this is what Trump has been facing. Sonny, this is the problem. Trump has been facing this from day one. He is going to war against literally the deep state and both political parties and the Supreme Court. That's how far gone all of this is. It's just unacceptable.
When you have 17 Republicans go with the Democrats in a boat to keep funding Obamacare and all this other stuff, we don't have a country. We're losing our country. Have a good day. Have a great weekend.
Sonny, God bless you. By the way, the plaintiffs in this case, Learning Resources, they're a toy firm. And they were getting hit by the tariffs. That's who the plaintiffs were in the case. All right, we got to take a break. It is Open Line Friday, going right back to the phones. This is the Todd Stern Show.
New movie, The Dragon's Prophecy, Dinesh D'Souza brings the new Middle East into focus with a message of perseverance, faith, and a shared global destiny.
Could the fate of the world, of humanity itself, be somehow tied to this place?
At long last, we have peace in the Middle East.
Israel and Christians are coming together in a way they have never been before, since the Book of Acts.
But is this the end of Hamas and radical Islam? What does the Bible say?
We have to become fighters in the spirit for God. We don't accept what the enemy wants to do with our culture. We don't accept what he wants to do with the nation. If we keep fighting, we win.
Powerful, prophetic, a must-see movie based on Jonathan Cahn's international bestseller, The Dragon's Prophecy, combines history and scripture with faith, justice, and renewal. The Dragon's Prophecy, a new film by Dinesh D'Souza, now available on Amazon, YouTube, and iTunes.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and I want to just circle back to something Sonny from Florida was asking us about. Who exactly sued the president? Well, that would be, well, there are a number of companies that sued over the tariffs, but the Supreme Court case involves a group out of New York City. This is called the Learning Resources, and they're a toy company, and they make these educational toys. And here's the deal with all of these, with a lot of these toy companies. They rely on China for most of the manufacturing. So it's cheap garbage is what it is, and it's made by foreigners. So the toy industry predominantly relies on China for the manufacturing of their crap. And that's why they're upset, because they got smacked with these new import taxes. So anyway, that's President Trump's going to be speaking to the nation here in the next 15 or 20 minutes or so, and we'll be monitoring what the president had to say. The president pretty upset about this. He is speaking with governors right now, and the president, he kicked the press out. So he wanted to have some pretty frank conversations with the governors, and the president said it's a disgrace. But the president does say he has a backup plan. By the way, Fox News is reporting that some Republicans are actually breathing a sigh of relief now that the Supreme Court has sided against the president on these tariffs. Shannon Bream saying that Democrats have told us the court is corrupt and in the pocket of Trump and can't be trusted. Today we're getting all of these press releases, statements from people in Washington with the Democrats saying the court got it right. So which is it? Are they corrupt or are they rock solid on the right? Bream also says we know of Republican members of Congress who we've talked to who are silently and quietly breathing a sigh of relief. Republicans who voted against some of the president's tariffs, thinking it's hurt the economy and has hurt their ability to go out and make the argument the president is working to make things more affordable. And some of them believe this may reset the markets. So my question, ladies and gentlemen, have the tariffs hurt you or have they helped you? Have you noticed any difference at all? 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phone lines. Joe in Ellijay, Georgia. Hey, Joe, what's going on?
Todd, great show. You're fantastic. We got a rally tomorrow for Burt Jones, who Trump was with yesterday, and the Trump bus is coming to Pooh's Barbecue. And someday we would like to have a rally for Todd Starnes at Pooh's Famous Barbecue. But tomorrow we've got one for Burt Jones, who was endorsed yesterday. Well, he was endorsed before yesterday by Trump. He'll be a great – he's lieutenant governor, and I think he'll be elected governor. And we're really excited about the rally tomorrow. And I'm sure you won't be, but if you happen to be near Ellijay tomorrow at about 2:30, we'd love for you to come. But we want to have a day to honor you someday in the future and have the Todd Starnes Day at Pooh's Famous Barbecue to honor you for all the great work you're doing for the taxpayers. And I just say to you, keep it up. We're mighty proud of you. And I love Newsmax. I think Newsmax is really cutting into Fox, don't you?
Well, I think so. And, Joe, I appreciate the kind words. Look, what a great honor to be recognized by Pool's Barbecue. I mean, you know, I've already got the name, my name on the Pig Hill of Fame there. So I couldn't think of anything even better than that.
Well, you have to have a day for you there and have you there. That'd be the only thing better, Todd. Well, so sometime in the future, we want to do that, okay?
I love that. Well, Joe, thank you for I appreciate those kind words, as always. And you guys have fun. Burt Jones, is he going to be the guy? Because there's some talk there in Georgia of another candidate. I believe his last name is Jackson, who is running for governor. And they're saying he's a good guy as well. Rick Jackson.
Well, he is, but I think Burt's got the end with Trump's endorsement. I think he's got the inside way to get elected, so I think he'll be the man. But Rick's a good guy too. But I strongly support Burt, and we're looking. And the Trump bus is going to be there at Pooh's Barbecue tomorrow, so we're really fired up for Burt and for Trump. Trump's great. And so are you, my friend. Keep up the great work, Todd.
Joe, God bless. Have fun out there at the big rally. That's Joe from LJ. If you haven't been to LJ, Georgia, it's the apple capital of the state. They do a great apple festival every year. A lot of fun. And they also have a great barbecue, Joe. Pools Barbecue right there off the side of the highway. And they have a giant hill behind the barbecue joint. And they have little wooden cutout pigs. And my name is on one of those pigs. It's one of the kindest things that anyone's ever done for me. I know, yes, I've won the Murrow Award. Yeah, and I've won the Associated Press Mark Twain Award. I get that. That's great. But to get your name on the Pig Hall of Fame, come on now. By the way, for you Georgia folks, the governor's race, Qantas Insights releasing a poll showing Rick Jackson, who's a businessman, political newcomer. He's got a 33% lead over Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones in their new survey. This was just conducted. 37%, by the way, of voters, they're still trying to figure out who they're going to go with. So there you have it. We'll keep you updated on the big gubernatorial races around around the nation. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So look, Democrats in New York City, a little angry. You know why they're angry? Because they're morons. And I hate to say this, but it needs to be said that voters in New York City and Virginia, I think you guys are now suffering from buyer's remorse, right? Mayor Mamdani now proposing a property tax increase of nearly 10% on every homeowner in the Big Apple. So they're basically about to stick it. This guy's about to stick it to the working class. And the reason why is they've got about a $5.4 billion budget shortfall in New York City. They're having to cut everything. I mean, we're talking about getting rid of as many as 5,000 police officers who are about to have to lay off. But here's the deal. Mamdani, he promised, we're gonna freeze rent prices. We're going to give you free bus passes. We're going to give you free universal child care. We're going to open up the grocery stores, free grocery stores. Oh, by the way, the free grocery store, it lasted all of 1 week. It is now shut down. This is how the communists are. You know, it's all hammers and sickles until you run out of everybody else's money. And then, you know, all you know what breaks loose, and it's already starting. Mamdani hasn't even been mayor for what time? It's just insane. What, a month and a half, 2 months? It's already falling apart. Meanwhile, here's the deal. What's going to happen is they're going to pass this, what almost is 9.4, 9.5% property tax. You know who's going to get stuck paying that bill? It's every single renter. So your landlords are going to be raising your rent because of what Mamdani just did. What, you think the landlords are going to take that hit? Not at all. And by the way, you still have to pay to ride the bus. Meanwhile, in Virginia, Democrats there have introduced more than 50 new taxes on everything from, I know, gym membership. They've got a dog walking tax they're introducing. By the way, any of you folks want to go to a Taylor Swift concert? Well, you're going to have to pay a tax for that, too. So the problem here, and a lot of folks are, what's the problem? Well, the problem is not the Democrats. Hear me on this. The problem is not the Democrats. This is what they do. They spend other people's money. That's all they do. They don't create. They steal. And then they lie about it. And every single time, the voters get suckered in. And that's the problem. The problem is the American people. I mean, how gullible do you have to be? Every single time the Democrats get elected, they do what they say they're going to do, and then they lie about doing things they said they were not going to do. So my advice to you people in New York City and Virginia, stop being morons. Stop electing candidates who just want to steal your money. Oh, how difficult that is, but geez alo, folks. All right, let's go to Sean in North Carolina. Hi, Sean. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
I come from the land of where the mayor doesn't have any pants.
Is that right?
Mooresville. Oh, yeah. You didn't hear about our mayor. He had no pants and he's denying whatever.
No, so you're from Mooresville. So I had no idea that you were from that area. So he was literally running around City Hall without any pants on.
From 2 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock in the morning, he said he left his cell phone in his office. And he had some woman in his office, and let's just put it this way, he's denying everything, and now he's starting to get sued by everybody, which it's sad because there was another guy before him that he got caught cheating, and they threw that guy out the window in like 6 months, but it's amazing how this guy's still alive.
So we're going to get off on a sidetrack here, Sean, but I got to share this story. So we're talking about Mayor Chris Carney, who is the mayor of Mooresville, North Carolina, and he's been accused of wandering around City Hall without any pants on. Chris, I don't know if you remember, I don't know if you remember this, but there was a great movie back before we knew Robert De Niro's politics called Casino. And he played the casino boss, and he would not wear his pants in his office because he didn't want to damage the crease in the pants. So I'm just wondering, maybe Mayor Carney there was really particular about the crease in his britches.
Maybe he was. I don't know. But it seems though the chief of police was worried about it, too, because he tried covering it up. So, and if any of your listeners are listening, our chief of police actually came from Massachusetts, and he got busted being a corrupt, real ding-dong. And now he's buddy-buddy with Carney. He came in, and now it's all corrupt. I moved here 12 years ago. I loved Mooresville. And we're probably going to leave in the next year because it's falling apart. They're building everywhere. They're handing out building permits like potato chips, and I don't know. And I have a feeling they're going to pull a California. They're going to jack off taxes through the roof, and you know, just sad because I really like the spice. And that guy was telling when I called in to talk to you about it. It's like I'm a small business owner, and the thing that makes me mad right now is that now I have to go work for somebody because my business, you know, is basically taking such a shellacking for 4 years. I'm kind of annoyed with the Supreme Court with the tariffs and everything. They need to cut the money loose and give the American people a payday way, give them the relief they need. But the thing that kills me is that how come the Minnesota mayor and governor, how come these guys aren't in jail? You know, it's like I was telling my wife today, it's hilarious that we are the little guy that pays our way and does the right thing. And all these people are scammers. They're ripping everybody off, stealing millions. How come none of these people are in jail? If I didn't pay my taxes, they would knock my door down and take everything I have. And that's what kills me with these people, is that you're sitting here watching these people. They all commit crimes, and they're all still running around like, hey, you know what, another day in the office. I just got accused. Same thing with our mayor. I got accused, and, you know, I'm all good. Just who do I need to pay off? And it drives me nuts because I'm like, I'm the little guy, and I'm getting squeezed to death. I'm borrowing money like crazy to stay alive, and it really makes me upset and really makes me mad.
Sean, tell me about the business. What kind of business are you in?
I'm a small contractor. I do everything. I do built-ins. I do bathroom renovations and everything. So I have to hang up my hat, my belt, to go work for somebody now. So
what is it that's really impacting you? Is it taxes? Is it materials, supplies?
It's everything, because everybody's mindset, you know, I'll be honest with you. When Trump got in the first round, we were hurting so bad from Obama. But those 3 years were great. And Biden's team knew exactly where to attack everybody. They attacked us with the oil. They went after the gas. And once everything went through the roof, it's hard to bring prices back down. Like, you know, economy 101, economics 101, I mean. And again, you know, it's, you know, when you go out and you bid on jobs, you got these people that I'm not going to say they're not here legally. I don't know. But I'm literally throwing numbers out that are in the ballpark. And I got people coming in and they're cutting me down to a quarter of the price. And I can't come back and even work with that. I'm like, how are they giving you this job amount number when the materials alone are going to cost more than that?
Well, Sean, tell me, what's the name of your business?
It's Quality Home Repair.
Quality Home Repair. Are you there in Mooresville? Is that where you're based?
Yes.
Quality Home Repair.
Based, yeah.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do here. You know, do you have like a website, or is there a phone number if people are listening in the area and they want to give you a holler? How can they get in touch with you?
Well, I don't have, I'm on Facebook, but we haven't really been plugging away with that, because the thing is, like I told somebody else, is I'm the chief cook and bottle washer. So I go out, I estimate the jobs, I propose the jobs, I work the jobs, you know, I do everything. I keep it close to me, because there's a certain way I want to run it, and there's a certain way I have to run it, because my reputation is everything.
Well, sure.
And that's the way I am. I hired guys in the past. They flaked out. I understand. But that's, like I said, and people, like, they're like, oh, well, can you get this done faster? I'm like, well, there's a certain way that I work. I got to turn the quality over. There's no, you know, there's no speed in quality. You know, it's just the way that I operate. And again, I explain to people, it might take me a little longer than the next guy, but when I turn it over to you, you're not going to have a problem with anything, you know, and usually that's how it is.
All right, Sean, let me jump in here, because we're running out of time here, but give me the name of your company one more time. We want to give you guys a shout out.
All right, Quality Home Repair.
Quality.
I just wanted to.
You've got 30 seconds, 30 seconds.
All right, I just wanted to throw that out there, too. I was one of the guys that actually designed and built those flagpoles that hang over 6th Avenue on the Grand Hyatt for Mr. Trump. I just wish I would have gotten a letter of recommendation when I did, but I didn't. That's how far back I go.
All right. Well, Sean, good luck to you. And I know I'm sure we've got folks in the audience in that part of the country that are going to want to reach out. And we wish you nothing but the best. But look, this is the problem. And especially you folks in North Carolina, where you've allowed Democrats to overrun your state. And now you've got Democrats in control. Taxes are off the charts. Look, in Nashville, the same thing is happening in Nashville right now, where radical progressives are in charge of Nashville. Property taxes are, get this, Acme Feed and Seed, $129,000 property tax in 2024, 2025, $589,000. Honky Tonk South, $209,000 in 2024. $765,000 now. It's insane. And people are raging about it. My advice, stop electing Democrats. Got to take a break.
Welcome to your Peloton Pilates era. Built on precision, backed by results, and trusted by over 2 million members. Experience instructors with true Pilates expertise, offering classes for every level, from foundational to powerfully challenging. Choose from 10 to 45-minute sessions with little to no equipment. Anytime, anywhere. And with the cross-training swivel screen, you can move seamlessly from cardio to mat. Press Pilates. Small moves. Big impact. Find out more at onepeloton.com/Pilates.
All right, coming up in the next hour, Matt Staver is going to join us from Liberty Council. He is the founder and chairman of Crazy Story out of Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Yeah, there's a kindergarten teacher showing up to class to teach the children, and the dude was wearing a dress, he was wearing a dog collar, and he was sporting a tail. So we're going to find out what the heck was going on at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. We have the story up right now at our website, toddstearns.com, and I'd encourage you to go and check that out. Today, also Open Line Friday. If you're on hold, we're going to get to your calls, so don't go anywhere. 901-260-5926. Also, during the break, head over to Amazon and pre-order a copy of my brand new book. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. This is a book that you are going to want to read, and especially if you're a young person in America, you got to read it. Get yourself a copy right now in the break, The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America by yours truly. Hang tight, everybody. Hour two of The Big Show coming up next.
This is the story of the one. As the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, she knows the only thing more important than having the right safety gear is having it there when you need it. That's why she partners with Grainger for auto reordering, so her team members can count on her to have cut-resistant gloves on hand, and each shift can run safely and efficiently. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Happy Friday to you. This is Open Line Friday, the opportunity you get to phone in and talk about whatever is on your mind. Great to have you with us on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Well, there is a bizarre story out of Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And I've covered a lot of weird stuff over the days and over the years. A lot of weird stuff. But nothing quite prepared me for what was happening at Mildred B. Poole Elementary School there at Fort Bragg, where multiple families have reported that school administrators have allowed a trans-identified male substitute teacher to, among other things, wear a dog collar with fetish tags and an animal tail in the classroom. I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and welcome into the conversation our good friend Matt Staver, the founder and chairman of Liberty Council. And Matt, you guys exposed this story. Wow, what an insane thing here. And first, good to have you with us. And second, give us a lowdown of what was going on there at Fort Bragg.
Well, Todd, it's always good to be with you. Thank you for having me. This is unbelievable. This is at Fort Bragg, at an elementary school, and this is a military school, the Mildred B. Poole Elementary School at Fort Bragg. And there's a teacher who is kindergarten and pre-K, and he comes to class with a animal tail out of his pants. He has a dog collar. He says to the little kids that he is a male, but he is actually a woman who likes boys. Now, he's talking to little children, and he says he likes boys. He also not only is someone who is confused about his gender, but he's also a furry, which means he believes he is a wolf, and particularly a werewolf. So one day, you know, one of the parents, their kids came home, the children came home, and the little daughter told the mother, said, quote, "Mommy, I'm scared he's going to come to eat me." The mother said, "Who's going to come to eat you?" The daughter replied, "Miss Roxy, he told us again he turns into a wolf at night." We have little kids that are saying, "Miss Roxy likes us to howl like wolves in the classroom." And one kid said to the mommy, a different parent, "Mommy, Miss Roxy says he was born in a male's body, but he's actually a woman, but he likes boys." On the social media of this pervert, you have a picture of a teddy bear with a knife in its neck, blood splurting out. You've got a picture of another teddy bear, and you have an AR-15, and the words on the social media says, "Do a crime." That's "do a crime." You have others that are scantily clad. It's terrible what's going on with the situation here. I mean, it's unbelievable that this is in an elementary school. And the parents complained, but they got no results. So they contacted Liberty Counsel. On February 9, we sent a demand letter to the Fort Bragg institution. We just got a letter back today, Todd, February 20, from the institution, and they said that they have now terminated this individual. And now Secretary of War Pete Hegseth just posted on X that the wolf has been, he called him the wolf has been fired. And in fact, that person's employment is now severed and is no longer able to access Fort Bragg as of today.
I think I have a lot of questions here. First and foremost, it seems as though this individual flies in the face of President Trump's executive order that he issued back in January. The idea that something like this could be happening in a school on a military base, I think, is shocking to a lot of people.
Yeah, it is. You know, you have President Donald Trump who issued the executive order last year on this very issue. You have Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, who's also been doing a great work with the department, cleaning out this wokeism and this LGBTQ radicalized agenda. But this, what it shows is that they're doing that. They make these statements and they're cleaning out the upper level, but it is deeply embedded into the various branches of the military. So when the parents complained about this person before we ever got involved, and that's why we got involved, is because they didn't get any response, they were told they can't do anything to this person because this person is trans and believes that he's female. Well, you know, as bad as that is, he's also grooming these kids, coming to class and scaring them. He's scaring them, causing them to be upset and uncomfortable. One little girl refused to go to the bathroom. When asked why you would not use the bathroom during the day, she was told that this person who goes by multiple names, Miss Roxy is just one of the names, accompanies the little girls to the bathroom and scares them to death so they won't use the restroom during the day. This should have been remedied long before we had to send a demand letter.
Yeah, that's what gets me is I don't think the story is over and done with. I'm curious who made the decisions to let that guy be in the classroom with these little kids, especially, and again, language here. The guy said he liked boys. Well, what do you make of that?
Yeah, there are people that are above that refused to listen to the parents. And some of these parents are people who are serving at Fort Bragg. Some of them are spouses, but they were communicating with the teacher and the people in authority, and they were getting nowhere. Multiple parents did this. One of the names that this particular person has is Savage Beast Queen. That's one of his names. And he also has one that's Death Artemis Death Howl. So these are the names that he's actually telling the kids to call him by. But there's somebody or some people, group of people, that were not doing their job, that are just as woke by condoning and not taking immediate action against this person. When the first parent complained, those need to be removed as well, not just this teacher.
No, I'm with you, and I certainly hope that the Pentagon steps in here now that Secretary Hegseth has been made aware of all of this. And they start really investigating. I suspect you're going to find a lot of other people have had concerns about this teacher, and they've just been told to, I don't know, either they've either been ignored or they've been told to just deal with it.
Well, you know, these are military families, and so this is a military elementary school, and so that's where they have the ability to send their kids, and frankly, many of them and most of them don't have any other option. So this is their only option for school. And then when they go and complain to somebody in a higher authority and they get rebuffed about that, well, the person who's the military member is concerned about, you know, their future advancement because now they're complaining to a higher authority and they're getting shot down. And then the spouse is worried about hurting, you know, the spouse who is the member of the military by complaining because they're not getting any redress. And so then they're stuck with this. Every day they have their kid go to this classroom with this pervert there that is grooming them, scaring them, and has these images on social media that encourages violence. I mean, who in their right mind would have something on their social media with an AR-15, a teddy bear, and says, do a crime? That alone should be disqualifying. This person needs to be investigated, prosecuted, frankly, But other heads need to be rolling as well. They need to be pushed out. This is the kind of thing that needs to happen, and the cleansing of the military needs to occur, not just with this person, but with the other people in authority.
Yeah, I'm with you, Matt. And again, it's I know you've been covering these kinds of stories. When you first got wind of this, what was your initial reaction?
Well, it's just kind of like anybody. It's like, really? Is this really true? So we have to really investigate it. And then, you know what? We talked to multiple parents, and all of these stories came up, and that's how we got this information about what the kids were telling. There was one child that said, "Mommy, I'm afraid because there's something under my bed hiding." Well, why are you afraid? Because Miss Roxy says he's a werewolf and he's going to be hiding under my bed. They're literally afraid to go to sleep in their bed because they think this teacher is going to turn into a werewolf and come into their home and eat them at night. And so when we heard that, we were just like you, Todd, like anybody else listening to this, it's like, this is serious? This is real? And they didn't do anything about it? I mean, the lack of discretion, the lack of discernment, the lack of common sense is shocking. Whoever was involved in not making these decisions, and there's several, they need to be terminated. They need to be demoted. They don't have a place in the military.
All right. Well, great work, Matt. And we're so glad that you guys are on top of this story, standing alongside defending these moms and dads and their precious little children. Just unacceptable this was happening on a military base. Matt, where can people go if they want to get more information about Liberty Counsel and the all the other cases you guys are working on?
Well, Todd, they can go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, just two letters, lc.org, lc.org.
All right. Great work, Matt. And thank you. Appreciate the great work here.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
All right. There you have it, folks. Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. We've got the story up on the website, and I would encourage you to head over there and read this. Just so disgusting. But again, it seems to me that we need to be going after every single school administrator, any military official who signed off on this and thought it was a good idea to allow a teacher to show up to class wearing a dog collar and animal tail and then tell the children that he was a wolf. And that the poor kids. I mean, we're talking about 5-year-olds here, for crying out loud. This is just unacceptable, and I mean, it's unacceptable even if it wasn't on a military base, but the fact that it was on a military base, and you had military families raising these concerns, and they went unanswered. These poor people had to go out, get themselves an attorney to deal with this. That is just unbelievable. All right, it is Open Line Friday, ladies and gentlemen. That means you call in today, talk about whatever is on your mind. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Yeah, I can't even imagine. Moms, dads, what would you do if your kid came home from school and said, "Mommy, I'm afraid my teacher is going to eat me." And when you ask why, your child says, "Well, my teacher is a guy. He wears a dress. He has a tail sticking out of his butt, and he thinks he's a wolf." I would be at the school in 30 seconds or less. I cannot imagine what those parents had to go through there at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Just unacceptable. That brings me to another story, and this is out of Minnesota, and this is an incredibly disturbing story of a state lawmaker who is transgender, and the state representative is a Democrat and is very upset because Republicans have introduced legislation that would stiffen the penalties for these adult websites. I hate to use the term, but it's pornography. That's what it is. Just flat out porn websites. And so Republicans in Minnesota want to make sure that children don't have access to those particular adult websites. And they're moving through legislation that would require age verification. So if you want to get on one of these sites, you've got to be, I don't know, 18 or older, 21 years. I don't know what the number is, but they don't want kids. They don't want kids being able to access these porn websites. So that brings us to State Representative Lee Fink, who is a man cosplaying as a woman. And he's enraged over this. He actually said during testimony that it's not fair because queer kids need to be given access to adult websites for educational purposes. No, I am not making this up. State Representative Lee Fink testifying on Capitol Hill in Minnesota saying that queer children need to have access to gay porn websites because it's educational, because they're not being taught about gay sex in their classrooms. And so that's why he is opposed to any sort of age verification on an adult website. Just curious your thoughts on that, ladies and gentlemen. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Tom in Houston, listening to us on Patriot Talk. Tom, your take on Fort Bragg.
Okay. This is at a military school.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to say both the guys and the girls that are parents get together, and they compare how many wolf tags they have this year and go on a wolf hunt.
Oh, and, that's, you know, that's clever.
You could probably harvest the meat and turn it into sausage and serve it up on the July the 4th picnic.
Well, you know, Tom, in all seriousness, the idea that anybody at that military base thought it was a good idea to expose the children for this, heads ought to be rolling all over the place.
Well, in all seriousness, this stuff of we, the, I'm going to say reasonable, conservative, good old Americans, constantly tempering our thoughts about this foolishness going on, okay? When I was a child growing up, and that's what these kids right now protesting ICE in school, I was told, and I believe it, and I think it is still true, that children in a school do not have constitutional rights, okay? There are certain things that take place in a school, much so as that, you know, we're going to teach you about X, Y, Z. Well, I don't want to learn about X, Y, Z, so I don't have to learn about X, Y, Z. Okay, this constant revoltness, renegade, whatever you want to call it, is way out of hand, and it's time for me to get out of hand. Okay, I'll speak for myself, but this has got to have a blowback. And there was a movie, and the tagline was "Revelators, mount up." And it's time to mount up, baby.
Well, yes, especially if something like that's going on in a kindergarten classroom, no doubt about it. Tom, thank you for the call. Thank you for listening there on Patriot Talk 920. And as we go to break, I've got to give a shout out to all of our just wonderful affiliates across the nation. God bless you. Thank you for broadcasting this program. Many of the stations that carry this show are owned and operated by families, by independent operators, not the big corporate guys, but the folks who are really making a difference in your communities. So I hope that if you've got time, pick up a phone, call your local radio station, and tell them thank you for broadcasting the Todd Stern Show. Maybe send them an email, a quick message, saying thank you for supporting local talk radio. All right, 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Open Line Friday. Hope you're having a great start to your weekend. Well, the Memphis Tigers got their butts handed to them last night. That was not a good win. Then Coach Penny Hardaway getting really emotional. I mean, there's no crying in basketball, sir. Anyway, my thoughts and prayers are with the Memphis Tigers fans. We have a lot of them in the Memphis area. All right, I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, bring into the conversation nationally syndicated radio host Joe Messina. Joe, good to hear from you today. Hope things are well in California.
Well, we're drying out a little bit here. We got the rain we wanted, but everything's good. It's sunny. It's beautiful.
Joe, one of the big things that we've been following is the gubernatorial race out there, and certainly looking in the early stages, looking good for the Republican candidates, surging ahead. The Mercury News, this is the headline, new poll, Republican candidate surges to a lead in the California governor's race. What do you think's going on there? Why are people being attracted to the Republicans?
Well, I think I believe that's Steve Hilton that's riding number one, and just behind him is the sheriff. So look at what's going on in this state. Look how bad it's getting. You know, you have more and more billionaires or millionaires moving out of state, and our gas prices are still up, Todd. You're still spending $5 a gallon or pretty darn close to $5 a gallon for gas. And now with the second refinery shutting down, gas is going to hit $8 a gallon, $9 a gallon, which I believe is what the Dems want. It's a way for them to usher in the EVs that much quicker. So you're seeing prices rise at the supermarkets, obviously, because you've got to deliver the food there with the high gas prices. I think people are starting to see it now. Whether or not this comes true on voting day, I don't know. I've become one of those skeptics.
Well, according to, and this is a pretty serious poll here, this is the Emerson College polling Inside California Politics. They did a survey of 1,000 likely voters. They found that Steve Hilton leads the field with 17% of the vote. Eric Swalwell and Chad Bianco, who's the Riverside County Sheriff, are tied at 14% apiece.
Todd, Eric Swalwell. I mean, seriously, what are these people? What are they smoking? It got to 14%? He should be 4%. For God's sakes, this is really scary. We are a guerrilla primary, is what we call a guerrilla primary. The top two vote getters are the ones that'll be on the general election. So I'm hoping that Bianco can pull it out. Because if Swalwell gets in, if he gets in as number two, I'm going to find it hard to believe that Hilton's going to be able to pull it off based on what you're seeing happening at the voter polls and mail-in here in California. We've got a lot of voter corruption in California, and I mean a lot.
Well, I think one of the big problems that people are now seeing with Bianco and having with Bianco is the video came out where he took a knee during the BLM riots. Literally took a knee for George Floyd. He's also, his views on immigration are sort of flying in the face of a lot of conservative beliefs. And so I think that could be one of the reasons why Hilton is taking the lead there.
Yeah, and I had a personal conversation with Bianco when he was in town. And he tried to give me an excuse for taking the knee, and he kind of got tricked into it. And I said, look, nobody's going to buy this. The story's not going to work for you. The mere fact that the head law enforcement person took a knee to appease the crowd doesn't fit well, won't fit well with the general populace. And remember that Republicans in this state are very much more moderate left-leaning than you would find him in other states. We don't have a large, hardcore conservative group of Republicans here in the state of California. So Hilton will appeal more to the left, to more moderate people on the left. So, yeah, he does have a very good chance. Again, I'm really concerned with the way we handle the voting here in this state when it comes to mail-in voting. We have, Todd, when in the last major election, the day that we were supposed to certify the election, think about this. They're still counting votes, all right? So, you know, California, as long as it's dated on or before the date of the election, they'll keep counting these ballots.
On our Patriot Bubble Newsmaker line, Joe Messina, national radio host. Joe, you know, again, looking at voters in California, and you guys are dealing with some of the highest taxes in the nation,
yep.
And yet people keep voting Democrat. I mean, look, when we see what's happening in New York City right now, Zohran Mamdani, I mean, he hasn't even been, you know, mayor for, what, 2 months now, and people are already freaking out. He's proposing a property increase, tax increase of nearly 10%. People are still having to pay to ride on the bus. All of the things he promised are not going to happen, and he's got to figure out a way to make up a $5.4 billion shortfall.
You get what you vote for, don't you, Todd? You know, here's a guy who really had no experience in any kind of position like this. What did we really expect from him? And the promises made, look at, he got all those people excited. New York City notoriously has a low turnout for voters. And what kind of candidates, let's just be honest about it, what kind of candidates did we give them, did the Republican Party give them, to be able to vote for and make something happen? So I look at this and say, until we decide to step up, the conservatives, the Republicans, decide to step up and really understand what's needed in these communities and give them the candidates they need to win, this is what you're going to see happen. And I want you to know something. Karen Bass here in California, in L.A., she's still doing well. She's running again. She still gets decent marks. I don't understand this. We're living in an alternate universe.
Well, it's so crazy. You look at what's happening in Virginia now, where they've introduced more than 50 new taxes. You know, Glenn Youngkin spent his entire 4 years in office making Virginia an affordable place to live, and now the Democrats are completely undoing that. I know Boeing's already announced they're moving out.
Yep.
They're going to be relocating to, I believe, St. Louis. But yep. this is insanity. Because, again, these same people are going to be complaining in 4 years about how they don't have any money, and they're the people to blame.
And they will do what Gavin Newsom does up and down this state on a regular basis, where he blames Trump and the Republicans for homelessness, for high taxes, because of what it's costing us with the federal government won't fund anymore. You know, they pushed through this mileage tax, number one. And, you know, they forced everybody, or tried to force everybody, to buy an EV car. And now they need to make up the tax money that they're not getting from the gas pumps. And again, coming back around to L.A. County just passed, through the Board of Supervisors, they passed a half-cent tax increase to cover medical costs in the county. Now, this county has got 10 million people in it. It's larger than, it's got more people in it than most states do. But what they snuck in at the very last minute was $5 million for Planned Parenthood as part of this tax increase. And on top of that, the reason they need the money is because they have a large group of illegal aliens that are going into these hospitals, going into the emergency rooms, and leaving large bills for the rest of us.
Joe, I know you're president of the school board there in Santa Clarita, California. Have you guys been dealing with any of these walkouts that have been happening, these ICE protests?
Yes. Yes. Well, let me tell you what I found out, because what I wanted to do as president of the board is I wanted to make sure these kids got suspended, because if you're going to protest, even if you're protesting properly, there's some pain for it, right? I mean, for anything you do, there should be positive and negatives to it. So when I approached this, what I found out was there's a state law that simply states that if a child walks out of a class or a student walks out of a class to do a political protest, as long as they get a note from their parents, you can't mark them as truant and you can't give them a zero for the day. So you can only imagine these liberal parents are writing notes for these kids so they don't have to take a zero for the day. It's hard to fight when you don't have any teeth to fight with.
Well, it's a good point. And again, some of these stories a lot of the parents have no idea that their kids are even at these protests. You know, they think their kids are in a class learning, and instead they're literally running around. I think in, Palm Beach, West Palm Beach, a kid got hit by a car. Because the mob of teens just ran right out into the street. Then there was this story, and I want to get your reaction to it. This is about an 11-year-old boy with he's a disabled child Dundee Middle School, and here's what happened. Take a listen.
This afternoon, a mother says she just wants answers after her special needs son is found wandering miles away from his school when he was supposed to be in class.
I don't feel safe. I'm just scared to go back. There's something could happen that same day again.
11-year-old Richard Harley says he doesn't want to go back to class after he was found wandering, scared and alone, miles away from school grounds following a student-led walkout protesting ICE.
They're supposed to stay on 72, like, by the school, but they did the exact opposite. It went just way more farther, and no one even knew, like, how far they were going.
So you kind of got separated.
I was, like, the last one, so I was, like, all alone.
The incident happened Tuesday morning at Dundee Middle School in the far northwest suburb where the sixth grader is a student.
What's going on?
His mother says she was not notified about the walkout, and because her son has special needs and an individualized education program, or IEP, takes issue with him being allowed to leave campus without supervision or parental authorization.
Why didn't I get, you know, a notification that he was tardy, well, or absent for that matter? Why didn't they even bother calling in?
Blaisdell says her son didn't understand what the walkout was about and merely went along with the other students when they went outside. She says the protest turned dangerous for Richard when he couldn't keep up with the other kids who were marching along Main Street and Route 72 Higgins Road. Blaisdell said her son called her in a panic.
He said, you just need to come pick me up. I don't know what's going on. I'm very scared.
The 34-year-old mother of three says she called police but was able to locate her son through his cell phone about 10 minutes later near the busy intersection of 72 and Randall Road.
It's not right, because my kid, again, is supposed to be safe, you know, in school.
So Joe, I'm just wondering from your perspective there as a school board president, I mean, are you guys having these conversations? I mean, what happens, God forbid, that a kid gets hurt when they're walking out, you know, during one of these protests?
So, all right, that kid's 11 years old. He's probably in the elementary portion of the school district. I can't imagine an 11-year-old, as we heard in that report, going out and actually knowing what he or she is protesting. He's just getting out of school with all the kids. It's a lot of fun. But the issue with us is we can tell them they can't leave. Again, California has a whole education code section. We can tell them they can't leave at the junior high and high school levels, but if they walk out, we can't physically restrain them. All we can do is try to take their name and try to find out who it is that's leaving. And when you have 100 or 200 kids walking off campus, it's almost an impossible task to keep up with.
Well, so at that point, you know, I would say, do you have to let them back on campus? You know, once you leave, I say you're on your own. You're done.
Yeah. No, we don't have to let them back on. We can lock campus up until the lunch bell, or our day ends at about 2 o'clock here. So, no, there are ways to keep them back off campus, mark them as truant. But again, Todd, they go home. You know, mommy, I went and I did this or I did that. Mommy writes him a note. He's back in the next day. No harm, no foul.
Well, the good news is you've got principals now that are starting to push back. I know in Pennsylvania, yes. The principal there shut down the protest. More than 100 students now suspended from a high school in Oklahoma for walking out as well.
Yeah, again, we've got the law working against us out here. And that's the sad part about it. You know, even with a child having an issue inside of a classroom, throwing chairs around, being disruptive or what have you, Todd, our teachers are not allowed to put their hands on those kids.
Wow.
They're supposed to leave the room, go out and get help if they can get help, and or get the other kids out of the class as soon as they can, but they're not allowed to touch that child.
You see, in the southern states, if a child threw a chair, you know, at a teacher, there's a good chance the teacher would have thrown the child out the window. So that's the way you stop that behavior.
Exactly. No. The child may have special needs, and we don't know where it's coming from. We don't know what the home. You should hear the stuff that I have to listen to. And being from Boston myself, I'm banging my head on the desk going, no, there's no consequence, therefore there's no reason to stop.
Wow. Wow. All right. Well, Joe, got to leave it there. Where can people go if they want to get more intel on the show?
It's real simple. JoeMessina.com. JoeMessina.com.
All right. JoeMessina.com, everybody. Joe, be good, my friend. Good to hear from you.
God bless, Todd. Have a great weekend.
All right. Good man right there. 901-260-5926. Going to the phones when we come back.
And great again. They also are a, frankly, disgrace to our nation, those justices. They're an automatic no, no matter how good a case you have. It's a no. But you can't knock their loyalty. It's one thing you can do with some of our people. Others think they're being politically correct, which has happened before far too often with certain members of this court, and it's happened so often with this court. What a shame. Having to do with voting in particular, when in fact they're just being fools and lapdogs for the rhinos and the radical left Democrats, and not that this should have anything at all to do with it. They're very unpatriotic and disloyal to our Constitution.
All right, that was President Trump just a few moments ago and weighing in on the Supreme Court ruling about the tariffs. And the president says, look, we've got plenty of other mechanisms. We have other tools in the belt. So the president says we're going to be good here. Let's just see where the president goes. But again, certainly a major setback, pretty disgusting and despicable. Clearly, China has some influence right now on the U.S. Supreme Court and Chief Justice John Roberts. That probably needs to be investigated at some point, and we shall see how all that plays out. But, wow, what a disappointment there. And the president has to be aggravated because Gorsuch and Barrett are his picks for the Supreme Court. You folks in Oregon, I have a question for you. What do you have against hunters? So a petition to ban hunting is gaining traction in Oregon, and it could appear on the ballot in November during the midterms. One of the leading people for the change says that they are probably going to get the votes they need. It's called the Peace Act. People for the Elimination of Animal Cruelty Exemptions. And they want to outlaw hunting in the state of Oregon. Well, okay, if you're going to outlaw hunting, that means you're going to have to outlaw meat, right, in the state of Oregon. You guys going to go vegan out there in Oregon? Come on. All right, we got to take a break. We are going right to the phones, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. A story we've been following out of Iowa State University involving a student government president. Welcome, everybody. This is Hour 3 of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Honored to have you with us for this hour of conversation. So we've got the story up at toddstearns.com, and this one is really a head-scratcher, but as the story goes, a young man who is the student body president there at Iowa State University has come under fire, and the reason why is because he supports Turning Point USA, and he supports having conservatives run for student government. Colby Brandt is the young man's name. He has now been officially impeached by the Student Government Association, could be actually removed from office. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, say hello to our good buddy, Jeff Stein, who holds forth at radio station KXEL, the blowtorch of the Midwest. Mr. Stein, hope you're doing well today.
Todd, it is always a privilege to speak with you.
So this is sort of a shocker for me. I just always took Iowa as a pretty conservative place, but clearly not at Iowa State University.
And what's interesting is Iowa State, among the three Regents institutions, public universities, Iowa State is the more conservative. Don't even try this in Iowa City or the People's Republic of Johnson County, as I call it. But what's interesting is the bias that you see, even in the reporting. They say that Mr. Brandt, who you mentioned is the student body president, was impeached because he's involved with a partisan organization. The partisan organization is Campus Victory Project, which is a nonpartisan, nonprofit group. Yes, it is funded by Turning Point USA, but we know how the rules are for nonprofits. This is not an overtly partisan organization, but even the Iowa State student newspaper put that right in the headline.
Well, apparently, and it can't be based upon its 501c3 nonprofit status. But it seems to me, Jeff, that the bigger issue here is they didn't want anybody associated with TPUSA or conservatives serving in leadership there at Iowa State.
And you'll find, you won't be surprised to learn, that hypocrisy in government starts even at student government. One of these articles, he was found, they voted 5 of the 7 articles of impeachment. It now goes to the Student Supreme Court. I did not know there even was such a thing. To his credit, Mr. Brandt, when asked to respond to the allegations, simply said, I'll save my comments for the Supreme Court. Well, one of the provisions is that they said that he failed to represent all students. That's part of the job, to represent all students. This is the twist that is really getting attention today. The lead spokesperson, the Senate speaker, against Mr. Brandt is a paid staff member for the presumptive Democrat gubernatorial nominee. She herself seeking to become the student government president in the next election. So apparently it's okay to be a paid staff member for a Democrat candidate in an election year. That's okay, but it's not okay if you are a staff member of a group affiliated with Turning Point USA.
You see,
it is really as simple and as obvious as that, Todd.
You see, here's what gets me is that none of the student leaders are talking now, so they're going to malign and smear this poor kid's name, and they don't have to answer for it, and I find that to be just reprehensible. Here are the 7 articles of impeachment. It's really almost a joke. Violation of the oath of office, malfeasance of duty, failure of representative duty, abuse of the office of the president, failure to serve the interest of the student body, violation of the student code of conduct, and violation of the university conflicts of interest policy. Here's what I find fascinating. In this same meeting where they impeached this guy, they also voted to give money to the Iranian Student Association there at the school, and also some sort of a far left, a global warming group there on campus.
They're also big supporters of DEI initiatives, even though the Iowa legislature specifically prohibited these public institutions from having DEI offices. So, again, I taught at that university some 30-some years ago. It's not the same as it was. I'm not sure any of these public institutions are the same as they used to be. But when you cannot even rely on a good land-grant institution like Iowa State University to have the ability for students to speak their mind and to have roles in government. I'll tell you, it again comes down to political, because this is a big election year. We have an open seat for governor. We have an open seat for U.S. Senate. My understanding is Iowa's the only state with open seats for both those positions. And the Democrats have an excellent opportunity to take the governor's seat, perhaps also better than 50-50 chance to take the Senate seat. So, heaven forbid that Turning Point USA have a foothold on a college campus, which they're going to need in November.
So Congresswoman Ashley Hinson says apparently political engagement at Iowa State is only okay when it aligns with the left. She said that she met Mr. Brandt in the summer, and he was a passionate student, eager to serve. She says this is not how we foster civic engagement or develop a next generation of leaders. What say you to that?
Well, she is the presumptive Republican nominee for U.S. Senate, and so this group that is trying to force Mr. Brandt out of office, that plays into the narrative that they don't want her to have statewide office either. And I think she's absolutely right, because, again, the students voted for this individual, and I can't imagine that he's been hiding his affiliations all this time. So it's just the radical component of student government who, when they did not win at the ballot box, they're just stamping their feet, trying to get their own way. And of course, Todd, this is the playbook that Democrats in the U.S. Congress have used time and again against Donald Trump.
Is it Feinstein or Finstein, the congressman? Are you there?
I'm here. I don't know what congressman you're talking about.
Well, this is out of Minnesota. He represents, he's weighing in on all of this. And apparently, is it Feinstein or Finstein? Either way, apparently Brandt was an intern for him. And he said this is a shameful example of political intolerance from far left activists who claim to champion diversity yet refuse to respect diversity of thought. And the reason I bring up that congressman's comments here is something that Susan Rice said about punishing all of the Trump supporters in America. And this is a bit of a lengthy soundbite, but I want to play it, Jeff, and get your reaction, because I think this plays right into what's happening to this poor kid. It's about to happen to all the rest of us, because Susan Rice is now out there saying any conservative who supported Donald Trump, when the Democrats retake power, there's going to be hell to pay, and you will be punished for your support of President Trump. Let's take a listen to this.
But when it comes to the elites, you know, the corporate interests, the law firms, the universities, the media, I agree with you, Preet. It's not going to end well for them. For those that decided that it was, you know, that they would act in their perceived very narrow self-interest, which I would underscore is very short-term self-interest, and, you know, take a knee to Trump. I think they're now starting to realize, wait a minute, you know, this is not popular. Trump is not popular. What he is doing, whether on the economy and affordability or on immigration now, is not popular. And that there is likely to be a swing in the other direction. And they are going to be caught with more than their pants down. They're going to be held accountable by those who come in opposition to Trump and win at the ballot box. And I can tell you, Preet, you know, as I talk to leaders in Washington, leaders in our party, leaders in the states, if these corporations think that the Democrats, when they come back in power, are going to, you know, play by the old rules, and say, oh, never mind, we'll forgive you for all the people you've fired, all the policies and principles you've violated, all, you know, the laws you've skirted. I think they've got another thing coming, because, you know, just like when Trump thought, okay, I'll redistrict and the Democrats won't have the guts to play hardball, they're going to be surprised. Democrats have had a belly full, and we're not going to play by.
We've heard enough of this. So Jeff Stein, there you have Susan Rice, a very powerful woman in the Democrat Party, basically saying the same thing Bernie Sanders and his crew once said, that, you know, if they got power, they were going to send Trump supporters to re-education camps. Your reaction to what you just heard there?
Well, first, I apologize for not knowing the Minnesota congressman's name. I'm a big fan of border security, and the Iowa-Minnesota border, I believe, should be much more secure than it is. But that's a whole different issue. Susan Rice just threatened half the American population, Todd. It is absolutely nothing more than trying to instill fear and to suggest that Trump, if you will, started it. No one has been persecuted more than him. And to suggest that when they get power again, they're going to hold it against anyone who had something to do with the Trump era. That is the biggest, most blatant threat. And when they did that the last time, what happened? Massive validation of the Trump policies in 2024 in the election. And if she wants to say that these are not popular policies and he's not popular, that's what Hillary keeps saying. Well, they must be just looking in the mirror to come to that, because the opinion polls that you and I both cite as being accurate, they have a very different view about approval for the president.
Yeah, no doubt about that. But again, I think when you look at what's happening at Iowa State and other schools around the country as well, I remember at Auburn University, a young man was attacked simply because he was a Republican. It's just unacceptable. But again, this is where the Democrats want to take this country, and it's a very, very dark path. All right, Jeff, we got to leave it there, my friend. Always appreciate you coming on the show.
Todd, it is a privilege. Have an excellent weekend.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the great Jeff Stein from radio station KXEL. And, of course, the president just wrapping up his press conference. He says he's got plenty of other avenues to deal with these trade imbalances, and he is absolutely disgusted with the Supreme Court, as well he should be. All right, real quick, before we jump to break, let's go to Tennessee, and we have someone known as Taxpayer on the line. Hello, Taxpayer, what's on your mind?
Yeah, hey, how you doing, Mr. Stein?
I'm well, thank you for asking.
Well, you know, when it comes to these tariffs, I just think that these tariffs was in the best interest of this country. And I think some of these Supreme Court justices are being influenced in making their decision. And I think that they are deliberately trying to limit Mr. Trump's decision-making up in Washington. And so I do think that these Supreme Court justices are being influenced in making their decision. Maybe not all of them, but I think that some of those Supreme Court justices are being influenced.
Well, I sure would like to know if any of these justices or their family members or, you know, somewhere in the extended family are getting checks, getting money from China and some of these other countries, because clearly they have been influenced by somebody. And we're going to have to get to the bottom of that. Taxpayer, thank you for calling in. Got to take a break. Open lines now, 901-260-5926. We've got Jerry in Iowa, Tom in Salem, Patty in Statesville, among many others. Coming up, this is Open Line Friday on the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Jerry in Iowa, you've been holding on for a while, and I know you want to weigh in on this Iowa State story. Jerry, welcome. What say you?
I like your bumper, Zeppelin. So happy Friday, Todd and team and advertisers. I really hope listeners frequent your advertisers and push it and make purchase from good and decent businesses. I got random open line thoughts here. Quickly, there should be a special place in hell for conservatives who don't vote in the midterms, because we stand to lose a lot. But I want to say hats off to the Honorable Mr. Brandt at Iowa State University. Courageous student. He's being tested by fire, quite like Daniel in the lion's den. And I'm calling about this kangaroo court at Iowa State University. I attended Iowa State University. I met my wife there. And people should realize it is different, like Jeff was saying, than it used to be. They are pushing Marxism there. It's being funded by the taxpayer. State and federal funded Marxism. Back when I was a Democrat, I myself attended my very first Palestine liberation meeting there. There's 150 Muslims there. And the professors thought it was great. So if you want to
send your kids and your grandkids to get brainwashed and come home with a non-Christian fiance and you wonder why your kids don't go to church anymore and they hate your country, then just send them to one of the government universities. The K through 12 teachers are taught there to in turn go and get the kids. So if we don't like the Supreme Court decision on tariffs, consider that these students were educated with government funding. So don't wait to fix these government universities, because students need to have better options. So Todd, you can probably explain to everybody what Mao's Cultural Revolution was, because that is what's happening at the universities. They are indoctrination centers. They are doing Obama's thing. They're fundamentally transforming America. So once again, hats off to the Honorable Mr. Brandt. And they're doing Mao's Cultural Revolution for people who know what that is. And I really appreciate the platform, Todd. And happy Friday. Frequent Todd's listeners, or all the listeners, businesses that advertise on the Todd Starnes show.
All right. Well, Jerry, I certainly appreciate that. And yeah, I think what's been happening on our university campuses going back beyond, I would say, the 1940s and 50s, has been a cultural revolution. And that has been manifested not only on our university campuses, but now it's happening within the general population. And that's what we're seeing here. And it's gotta stop, which is why we have got to abolish the Department of Education. And we've got to shut down these universities that are targeting conservative kids. All right, 901-260-5926. That is our number. This is Open Line Friday. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. Let's go to the phones. We're going to go to Jerry in Little Rock, Arkansas. And Jerry wants to weigh in on the big controversy surrounding dogs. And you had a top aide to Zohran Mamdani who said that dogs were unclean and suggested that we should not be allowed to have dogs as pets in America. Jerry, what say you?
Well, Todd, good to talk to you, by the way. I still listen every day. I just don't call as much as I used to. But, you know, we can have a lot of fun with this. It's kind of comical, but on a serious note, the Democrat Party and the lamestream media seems like they can get away with a lot of things. They can get away with being pro-baby killing, pro-open borders, pro-murder, pro-rape, just anti-cop. They can get away with all of this stuff, apparently. But if we could keep this story in the news and get more and more Democrats to condemn the Hebrew hammer for a family dog, it's a family dog. It's a member of your family. If we can keep this in the news and get more of these Democrats to condemn what the senator or representative, I forget, I remember the Hebrew hammer part, though. If we can get them to keep coming out as anti-dog, I don't know if they survive that.
No, I don't either. Look, Jerry, this is true. And by the way, Randy Fine, the congressman from Florida, he's the Hebrew hammer. I love this guy because he is fearless. He'll go toe-to-toe with them. And the reality is here, you know, his comment was, if we have to choose between dogs and Muslims, he said his decision is pretty easy. But the reason why they're enraged is there is a lot of truth there, because there will come a moment when we're going to have to make that decision.
Yeah, and I know you opened your show with this, I think Tuesday and Wednesday, and I listen to a lot of guys. That's why I don't listen to you live almost all the time anymore. There's only so many hours in a day. Boy, I love that. Speed it up 50%, and I can cram everybody I love into a single day usually.
But Jerry, hold on. You say, wait a minute, you're going to come onto my show and tell me that you don't listen to me live, Jerry?
I'm sorry. I forget that.
I wouldn't have shared. I think you overshared, Jerry.
I've only heard one other of my beloved hosts bring it up, and we need to hammer this. It's my understanding that AOC immediately came out and condemned Mr. Fein. Jake Tapper did the same, and Hakeem Jeffries, who speaks for the entire Democrat House caucus. If we can get all these people to come out as anti-dog and hammer it every day, put it in every Republican candidate's commercial, I'm only half joking here. I don't know how they survived that.
Well,
you keep talking about it.
Yeah, because even the liberals love their dogs.
Yes, they do. It's amazing. The one thing we have in common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and let me tell you something else, Jerry. The other shoe that's going to drop is something called the pig. You know, they don't like pork all that much. And I'm just going to speak on behalf of the entire city of Memphis. We will go to war over that.
Absolutely. I tell you what, if bacon on the side doesn't make it better, you might not should even be eating it at all in the first place.
You know, my dear Uncle Jerry actually tried to get a patent on his anti-terrorism device. It was a Kevlar vest lined with bacon, but there were some issues there. I don't know what. I'll have to check with Uncle Jerry about that. Jerry, thank you. Appreciate you calling in. Listen to us live. We're more fun than the other shows. I'm just telling you, we are. Let's go to Statesville, North Carolina, Miss Patty. All right, Miss Patty.
Yep, I'm on fire today, boy.
Talk to me. What's going on?
Oh, my God. You know what? Trump's got a big toolbox. The Dems got a big toy box. I'm going to tell you something. They are not going to stop this man. Guess what he could use? The Trade Act of 1974.
All right, talk to us about that, Patty. You can't leave us hanging.
Well, the Trade Act of 1974, Gerald Ford signed it into a bill which the Supreme Court can't overrule.
Well,
so guess what? I think he's going to use that 74 bill.
Well, the president has a lot of tools in his belt. You know, he's right now just enraged over all of this, and rightfully so. But let's see how this all plays out. The president is pretty confident that he's going to be able to follow through, and we're not going to have to refund. The concern is, are we going to have to refund all this money? We're talking about billions and billions of dollars, and that would be a devastating blow to the economy if that were to happen, Patty.
That's not going to happen. I don't know. The Supreme Court, I don't know. Will Coney Barrett, I don't know. And then he's got the State of the Union, and these people are going to be at the State of the Union. It's going to be like a circus.
Oh, it will be a circus. By the way, speaking of that, Abigail Spanberger, who's the new Democrat governor of Virginia, she's going to be giving the rebuttal address for the Democrats after the president's remarks on Tuesday.
Well, you know, people are complaining about her already. Not only are they complaining about her, but they're complaining about my daughter Lauren has a good friend from the Bronx, New York. You know how the Bronx is. And they're fuming. They already want Mandami. They want a recall. They want him out. Do you know that?
Oh, they do. And I mean, the guy, I mean, he's only been in office since, what, January? I mean, it's only February. They got 4 years of this guy.
Oh, my God. You know what? Yeah, but Lauren said, Mom, you know, her girlfriend did not vote for him. But, you know, she said, this guy is nuts. Now, they're still paying bus fare. They're mm-hmm. still paying for that. Oh, yeah. That's not
oh,
free.
Yeah,
no free buses.
Yeah, no free buses. No free buses.
And the girl with the dogs, she wants to euthanize dogs.
Yeah, they believe that dogs are unclean, and I immediately saw that for what it was. They're anti-dog.
I'm not going to say it, because if I say it, you get mad at me, but you know what I'm saying.
Say that. I know what you're thinking. You can't go there. Don't go there.
But you know what? I'm just saying Randy Fein is fine, okay? Can I agree with that?
The Hebrew hammer.
No, that right.
I love it.
Todd, and you know what? Listen, I'm just saying, I think Mandami and Spanberger and the rest, I think you're going to ruin it. I think you're going to ruin it for the Democrats. These people are going to ruin it.
I've got my Orville Redenbacher and my Dr. Pepper watching it all unfold. Miss Patty, good hearing from you, my friend. Take care now. We had a great conversation with Daniel Cohen, who you see a lot on Jack Hibbs' program, Real Talk Network, and you're going to be seeing this radio program on Real Talk Network very soon, and which is one of the reasons why we were in Nashville at the NRB earlier this week. Anyway, Daniel, interesting testimony this guy has. He's based in Israel now as a journalist, but I want you to take a listen to a little bit of our conversation the other day. Daniel Cohen joins us, and Daniel, what an incredible story and testimony. I mean, people see you on TV all the time, there's an incredible story to how you got to where you are, and I'm just curious, how does a guy go from being a morning show host in Los Angeles to living and working and telling the stories happening in Israel?
Todd, it's all the Lord. I just say thank you so much, Todd, for letting me be with you here. God bless you, and thanks, everybody. I'm a Jewish follower of Yeshua, of Jesus, and he took my family. He literally plucked us up out of I'll be honest, a very comfortable Southern California life. I was a morning anchor in San Diego for 17 years. Not to give you a LinkedIn profile, but it was a number one station, 3 Emmys, wonderful. He brought us to L.A. for 3 years and then parted ways during COVID with that station. And he spoke to me one morning. I was driving at 3 a.m. He said, I'm sending you to Israel. I don't know if the Lord's ever spoken to you. Has the Lord ever spoken to you so clearly that you knew, like you knew what you knew what you knew? And the hair on my neck and on my arm stood up. I'd never been to Israel before. My grandmother, a Holocaust survivor from Auschwitz, had never met our kids. Her great-grandchildren was about to turn 98 and had a brain tumor. And so it was an act of faith and following the Lord's voice. We put one foot in front of the other during COVID, when you couldn't just buy a plane ticket. But we prepared this ask. The Lord said, I'm sending you. 8 days before our plane took off, we got an approval to go. And the Lord brought us there. He planted us there. I connected with Newsmax, who was the first ever Jerusalem correspondent for Newsmax. And now doing the Daniel Cohen Show on the Real Life Network. It's a blessing. There's so much to it, but I know we don't have a lot of time to talk.
No. But here's what gets me. I mean, along the way, did you have like any doubts at all? Or you're like, God said it. This is what we're doing.
We did it, Todd. That's such a great question. Because sometimes we think, what did he say? While we had to ask the Los Angeles, the consulate was helping us, we sold our cars, we sold our furniture, and our family was looking at us. We said we were going on a sabbatical, right? We bought one-way tickets. We thought, we said we were just going to go for 3 months, maybe 4. When we come back, we'll buy a new couch. We'll buy a new whatever, right? And our family says, so you're moving to Israel? And we said, no, we're not moving to Israel. We've never been to Israel. And the Lord is just such a gentleman, and he had big plans for us. We lived in Airbnbs for 11 months from Tel Aviv to the Sea of Galilee, Netanya. We'd go out to the Dead Sea. I mean, who got to experience Israel that way with no tourists? Anyway, we knew what we knew, and the Lord spoke to us very clearly, and he delivered on his promise for sure.
Look, I mean, I get it, but still, having to leave behind the official chicken of the Lord, Chick-fil-A, and then you got the official burger of the Lord, In-N-Out. I mean, that's really, you're on a mission. Yeah. Mission for God.
Now it's the official shawarma of the Lord and the falafel of the Lord. So, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Aside from, the big move, what's that experience been like for your family?
It's really grown our faith, Todd. I'll tell you. We say in our family, Israel has sort of wrecked us for the ordinary. What do I mean by that? I'll be honest and say, before when we were living in San Diego and we were living in Southern California, our prayer was like, Lord, we would love an update in our kitchen. We'd love a kitchen remodel. Why are you talking about that, Daniel? What does that mean? I think we thought small. I think that we needed to think bigger. The Lord had such big plans for us. Is it wrong to want a kitchen remodel? No. But the Lord brought us to Israel. We were there during a pandemic. We were there for October 7th. I joke. I say he brought us there during a pandemic, and we stayed for the war, right? I have social media posts where there's an Iron Dome launch site 200 meters from my front door of our house. And I'm holding my phone, and you can hear, you can hear the missiles being intercepted, and my home shaking. And Israel's wrecked us for the ordinary now that I'm living this incredible life, this adventurous life that the Lord doesn't need me. We get to partner with him and to accomplish his redemptive plan for Israel and the world. And I look back at our prayer about you know, Lord, we want these shaker cabinets. And I'm like, who cares what my cabinets look like? You know, I just want to serve the Lord. He brought us there, and I get to use the microphone and the Real Life Network and the Daniel Cohen Show to make his name great and not my own, and to just be a truth teller, a watchman on the walls of Jerusalem, an Esther 4:4 for such a time as this. What a blessing and what an honor.
You mentioned watchman on the wall, and yeah. Since you've been gone from the States, I don't know if you're aware, but there's been really a raging, ugly debate within, you know, the conservative movement, the Christian movement, about Israel and supporting Israel, anti-Semitism on the rise among conservatives. What's your view from Israel as to what's happening here in the States?
The divide over Israel is about whether you believe that Jesus came to fulfill, to reveal the God of the Old Testament, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or to replace the God of the Old Testament. For me, it's all scriptural. It's a spiritual war that's going on. And people that don't know, that haven't read the Bible, yes, there's a Genesis 12:3 blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. Exact same language and verbiage in Numbers 24 as well. Exodus 4, God says that Israel is his firstborn. What good father that would abandon their firstborn? He made a promise with himself, a covenant to himself through the seed of Abraham. In Jeremiah, in 31, it says, unless the sun, the moon, the stars cease to exist, the Lord says, that's when I'll break my promise to Israel. So people that are somehow believing that God's done with Israel, that he's replaced Israel, I could tell you 20 more minutes of scripture. This is a promise keeper. Here's where it says he'll be a covenant maker. He'll never slumber nor sleep. So I tell people, I don't want to bash the people. I know who you're talking about. They're a very loud but very small number of people who have created a deep chasm and that are trying to create this divide in Israel. Read the Bible. Read it for yourself. Read those words. It's not my word. It's his word. Read it and let it minister to you.
No. I know exactly what you're saying, and I'm with you. I think the numbers, they're small numbers, big voices. Yeah. I think by and large, the people of faith here in this country stand with the nation of Israel. But I think it's also a reminder that we just can't take those things for granted. Yeah. And I think that's why we need to have some sort of an education process and educating next generation, you know, Christians. This is why we stand with the nation of Israel.
Amen, Todd. And I'll tell you this. I deputize everyone that I meet. And thank you. I know you've been to Israel how many times?
Oh, gosh, 5 or 6.
Amazing. So I tell people, come to Israel. I speak with people that are in the forefront movement right now that are trying to create this division. Have you ever been to Israel? No. How can you call it an apartheid state? There are Arabs that serve in the Knesset. There are Arabs that serve in the Supreme Court, doctors and lawyers. There's no limitation. You know, it's like if Israel is really an apartheid state, they're pretty terrible at doing this whole apartheid thing. So I tell people, when you come, when you see it, when you walk the land, when you see the land, it will change your perspective. See it for yourself before you make any judgment.
What's it like for you to be able to tell those stories in Israel?
Yeah, to tell the stories of...
The stories of Israel to the rest of the nation.
Sure. I just feel like... Like I said with Esther, this is the moment that God has been preparing me for 20 years in affiliates, working in these affiliates, and now to be sort of unshackled, right? I was in the first group of journalists that saw the unedited October 7th massacre footage, and it was gut-wrenching. I'm a grandson of a Holocaust survivor, right? And I felt like I have a duty as a Jewish follower of Jesus and Yeshua. You know, I prayed before going to watch it. I said, do I want to... The eyes are the window to the soul. Do I want to let those things in? Do I even want to see it? And I prayed about it, and the Lord said, go, do it. My wife, too, she said, do it. As a grandson of a Holocaust survivor, I felt an honor. I felt a duty, excuse me, that I had to do it. And so it's about sharing the truth, and it's about telling the truth, and it's a big responsibility to hold the microphone and to tell people, you know, I live in Israel. God is a promise keeper. They're not militants. I have friends who are correspondents for other networks, and their networks say they have to call Hamas militants or freedom fighters. Good gracious. Freedom fighters. I mean, what freedom are you fighting for? You know what they did to women, to girls, to babies, to Holocaust survivors? Freedom fighter. What a lie. So it's a big responsibility and an honor to say, that's not true. It's not an apartheid state. There was a genocide. It happened on October 7th. They would have kept going and killing more Jews and as many Israelis as they possibly could. But they were stopped at 1,200 fatalities and how many? 249 or so that were kidnapped and taken into Gaza.
Wow. All right. We got to leave it there. Daniel, we could go on.
God bless you.
For hours.
Quick plug. Is that okay?
Quick plug.
Real Life Network. RealLifeNetwork.com. RealLifeNetwork.com. It's free. This network goes out to 2 million people a month. It blows my mind. It's totally free. Don't want your money. Just a username and a password. If you want to follow me on social, it's Dan Cohen TV on Instagram, Daniel Cohen TV on Twitter, on Facebook, YouTube. God bless you, Todd. I know we'll speak again.
Daniel, God bless.
All right, taking off from the Newsmax show tonight, we have a fill-in host, Rob Astorino, filling in for me. I'll be back on TV tomorrow, or on Monday, rather. Then off to Houston Tuesday and Wednesday. Looking forward to visiting with the Village Republican Ladies. We're going to have a great luncheon and hope to see you there, all of our Patriot Talk 920 listeners. Also, would you do me a favor? As soon as the show wraps, head over to Amazon and pre-order a copy of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America and the Future of MAGA. So go check that out right now at Amazon. My new book, it'll be out in the spring. You can pre-order right now. All right, get out there. Have a great one. Whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend, everybody.